The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we'll be doing a rebroadcast with Ms. Chana Schluss. Wrote a book called Mikvah Meditations. Very, very insightful. We will be continuing, as we've done for the last couple of weeks, and will for the next couple of weeks, with Jewish a cappella music. This is the only place in the entire state where you could hear Jewish a cappella music on the air. Yes, we're doing that this week. We got a couple of songs, a whole bunch of songs, actually. The portion of the week is Achrei Mos Kiddoshim, double portion, Leviticus 16 and following. An unbelievably awesome Hasidic story at the end. Stay all the way till 11:58. And before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Israeli tanks fired at a Hamas position in Gaza after soldiers came under fire while working at the border with Israel. No Israeli soldiers were injured in the attack. Israel shot down a plane after the plane crossed into Israeli airspace over the Golan Heights. It is not known if the plane was manned or a drone. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu canceled a planned meeting with German Foreign Minister Sigmar Gabriel after Gabriel met with two organizations that say the IDF is committing human rights violations. But he did welcome the Foreign Minister to meet with him on his next trip, provided he doesn't meet with such organizations. The Palestinian, this one I'm kind of wondering, I'm shaking, scratching my head a little bit about this one. The Palestinian Authority called on the British government to apologize for the Balfour Declaration granting statehood to Israel. The Brits will not apologize and are planning events for this November, the 100th anniversary of the signing. President Donald Trump will be in Israel on May 22nd, that's the day before Jerusalem Day, as part of the president's first trip abroad. The president will be staying in Jerusalem. Minnesota became the 21st state to ban dealings with boycott, divestment, and sanctions compliant businesses through laws or executive orders. Unlike laws in other states, the Minnesota bill does not extend protection to boycotts that are only on those businesses in the settlements. Don't wonder about that one. And finally, every year the state of Israel conducts a census. The population of the state of Israel stands at 8,600,080 people approximately. This shows a growth of last year of 159,000 people, or an increase of 1.9%. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hey, Mary Schulpenman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We have online author Chana Schluss, who has authored a book, Mikveh Meditations. It's a very wonderfully put together book of things to think about when it comes to intimacy. How are you today, Chana?
I'm just fine. How are you, Herschel?
Good. Thank God. Thank you for asking. Okay. Intimacy. The word intimacy even means it's like private. So it's sort of like, can there be a book publicizing intimacy, meaning privacy?
Well, there can. There is.
There needs to be. Yes.
There needs to be in this generation. Once upon a time, traditionally, over the centuries, all of this information was transmitted from mother to daughter or from, say, an aunt to a daughter or someone close in the family in the days when people lived in very tight-knit communities. It was done on a one-to-one basis, and that worked just fine until recently, at the past 150 years, there were so many upheavals in the Jewish world with the pogroms in Eastern Europe and the world wars, when people found themselves uprooted and overnight and maybe separated from families on different, thousands of miles from each other. And there was no longer the venue for people to transmit this kind of information. So unfortunately, there are many people in our generation who just never knew, and in the past couple of generations, who just never knew about the mikvah and about intimacy and how Judaism views it. And so many, a lack of information and misperceptions have cropped up. So there's become a need for a book like this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'll tell you something personal. My family, I have my grandmother, my bubby, was considered, not by herself, but considered by rabbis in the city of Newark, where we grew up, as being a religious woman. I remember people from rabbis with big beards coming in, they would eat in her house, and it'd be like, we always refer to these as tzedakah mention, and people knew they could eat in her house, or keeping kosher was impeccable. She went to mikveh once in her life. Before she got married, she told me this story. She went to the rabbi, said, I'm not going to marry you unless you go to mikveh. Okay? Mm-hmm. No talks, no nothing, whatever. And then she said to me, if I want to take a bath, I could get cleaner at home. And she never went ever again. And mikveh was looked upon as something as like backwards and something of a thing of scorn. And none of her kids, who were all married in the 40s, even thought of possibly even dreaming about going to mikveh. And here it's having a resurgence. So if you could talk about this then, please, Chana.
Again, it's part of the misperceptions. And I imagine that your bubby, who was such a special woman, clearly, didn't have the kind of education that she needed to get in order to appreciate the mikveh and in order for the misperceptions to have been overcome. Nowadays, there are many women who go to the mikveh eagerly, happily, and feel that it's a wonderful thing in their lives all around, for their marriages, and personally, on a spiritual level, they feel anticipation, they're happy with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's back up. For our listeners, we're throwing around the word mikveh. Could you explain what a mikveh is?
A mikveh is a,
simply,
also called a ritualarium, and it is a pool. In this day and age, a beautiful, more often like a spa-like pool, and it contains a certain measurement of water. It's a small pool with stairs, and a woman goes into the pool, and it's filled with natural water, either spring water or rainwater that's been carefully filtered and clean. It's sparkling clean, and she immerses in that, and it comes after the time a husband and wife separate during her menstrual period and for a period of time after that, and they have no contact, and then after this time is completed, she bathes herself carefully, and then she immerses in the mikveh.
Okay, so you mentioned the word spa. Actually, Detroit has, it's an Oak Park in the suburbs, has a mikveh. It's set back off the street. It's on a major thoroughfare, but if you didn't know it was there, you wouldn't know that it was there, because it is there's high bushes in front of it, and the parking lot is concealed. I personally have never actually been in the building. My wife refers to this place as the Taj Mahal. It was, it is, she says, beyond any spa that she has ever been. So somewhere between, let's see, my grandmother was married in 1902. So somewhere between 1902 and 2004, which I think when the building was built, things have gone from, with mikvahs, from holes in the ground to Taj Mahals. So where would you say, Chanishlis, has there been this attitude change? Is it just because we're American and we don't do things like third world countries?
It's not only in America. If you go to Vietnam, which is not exactly America, you'll also find Taj Mahal-style mikvahs. Nowadays, all over the world, this is becoming prevalent, and because the use of the mikvah is on the upswing. Again, because we're dealing with intimacy, it's not something that everyone talks about, and they usually hear on the radio or in the press. But it's very common, and the mixes as they're being built now are trying to outdo each other in terms of features, beautiful features, so that women will be comfortable in every way to attend.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, we're talking with author Hannah Schluss, who's written a new book called Mikveh Meditations, a wonderful insights into what's going on with going to the mikveh prior to times of intimacy. Let's talk about that word intimacy. That's something very special. I've often said that, and we've talked about it on this show many, many times, that Jews are not into denial and living lives of not participating, but rather we live lives of utilization. That if it's in the physical world in which we live, and it fits into with the parameters, the guides of the Torah, so it's 100% permissible, provided that we're doing it to make the world a better place. Would that be true with intimacy also, Chanishlis?
Of course. Absolutely. Intimacy... The Talmud and the Torah in general, Jewish law, is not squeamish about anything to do with the body and the physical processes. There's no squeamishness, there's no discomfort whatsoever. In Hebrew, the way that the language is used, it's called Lashon Naki. It means clean language. It means that there a lot of times euphemisms are used, sometimes very beautiful poetic euphemisms are used, but everything is discussed in detail, and there's nothing that's verboten, but it's spoken about in the right time, in the right context. If a person has a question, they can always call a qualified rabbi who is extremely, extremely educated in these things and will not be one bit uncomfortable. And it's considered a beautiful and holy thing. The question was asked once a speaker once said, is intimacy good or bad? And so if it's good, we should maximize it. And if it's bad, we should keep away from it. And the audience was discussing back and forth, yes, no, what? And she finally said, it's not good and it's not bad, it's holy. And so during the times when people are allowed to be, when it's permissible to be together in a Jewish marriage, then it should be maximized. And when not, then not. But it should be maximized, and it's considered a good thing and positive, and it's important in Judaism. Marriage is considered a holy thing, and a healthy intimacy is considered healthy in the right context.
Mm-hmm. There is a major misconception, which was perpetrated by various novels and books and other philosophy sociologists, that Judaism considers a woman before she goes to the mikveh like unclean, like this really, really negative thing about it. There's books like The Red Tent, which I'm not endorsing at all because it's totally and completely wrong. But explain why that myth is not true, Chana.
It's because of the translation from the Hebrew words. The words in Hebrew have no proper translation into English. It just doesn't go. The word in Hebrew is tuma. There's tuma and tahara, and they are usually translated as pure and impure, or something that people believe that there is some sort of a negative connotation here. But this is a very ancient misconception. It goes all the way back to Maimonides, who wrote hundreds and hundreds of years ago. He wrote, I'm quoting, "It is clear and obvious that tuma is not some adhesion of filth that can be removed with water, but a Torah decree, and it is dependent upon the intention of the heart." So it's simply a matter of, if you can imagine, if those that long ago people had the same misconception, people just have to learn a little bit and get a bit educated. There's no negative connotation to it at all.
That's awesome. I'm really appreciate that answer. So a woman goes to mikveh. This is called mikveh meditations. Would I be correct in assuming these are things that a woman should be thinking about as she's preparing and going to the mikveh, Chanishlis?
There is some of that, yes. There is some of that. Some of it is information for people who don't have a background at all, but it's really a book that anyone can learn from, and I also learned from it as I was in the process of editing, because some of the rabbis who were involved added pieces of quotations and pieces of information, and I learned from it too. So anyone on any level could gain from it. And yes, it contains meditations and things that people could think about as they're preparing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Could you give us an example, maybe, of what somebody should be thinking, if you want to put themselves in a holy state at this point?
A woman, let's give an example. I'll give you two quick examples. One mm-hmm. is of a woman who wants to have a child, and she is preparing for conception, and she's thinking. We look at a tree. If a tree was, we look at a tree. If a tree was, someone broke a branch off an adult tree, cut the branch off. So okay, they cut. Maybe they were pruning it. Whatever. If it's a young tree, a young sapling, then if someone broke a branch off, it would have a bigger effect. If someone took a seed and chipped the seed, it would have a big effect on what the tree would look like eventually. And conversely, if a person is preparing for the conception of a child and they are maximizing the good and the positive and the holiness, then they are maximizing the future potential for the child, and this is something that they could be thinking about.
Okay.
And also you have a woman who perhaps didn't use the mikveh and she has children, or maybe she's past her childbearing years and she would like to go one time. She could go one last time, and this could retroactively have a positive effect on her family.
That is amazing. A lot of misconception may come in with the idea of translating Tuma and Tara as clean and unclean. It comes to the fact that the way one becomes Tahar, which is translated as clean, is by immersing in a body of water. So it's like, it sounds like taking a bath. But what's the symbolism of water? Why is it that a person can't say, I don't know, do something else to purify themselves, like, I don't know, chop wood and schwitz everything out?
Water is, the person immerses themselves in water, and the word in Hebrew is tevila. And you take those same letters and rearrange them, and you have the word habitol, which means the nullification of the negative parts of the ego. And so a person immerses themselves in the water, and they're completely surrounded, and it's... they're surrounded, and there's a renewal. It's like being in the womb, coming out of the womb again. It's it's a symbolism of spiritual cleansing. The person comes out, and many women feel a tremendous exhilaration when they leave the when they step out of the mikvah. They experience the renewal. I've heard of it also with converts experiencing that. And it's the there's something about this which I can't really explain it, but this is something that God commanded. But many people have anecdotally said that they experience this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go back to my grandmother, my bubby, who said if I want to be clean, I could always use a bathtub. You said the water has to be something, quote-unquote, living water, rainwater which has been collected, or spring water from a well or natural source. But all water basically comes from the same place. We all learned about the water cycle back in sixth grade, and water that's coming out of the pipe in your bathtub is also coming from some natural place. They haven't learned how to make artificial water yet.
The fact that it's a direct source is from the natural, that's from nature, that is important in Jewish law. This is not that it's been put into a container, and there are even places where people don't have rain. They bring in ice from other locations and let the ice melt, and they use that as their natural source.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're saying that the idea of keeping it natural, that putting it in some kind of a container, like even something like a reservoir or a metal pipe or something. Well, we know water used to get stagnant, but that would be definitely the opposite of living water. But when we're saying living, we don't necessarily mean it has to be like fish. And this is not like Tashlich, where you have to see the fish. There's no fish swimming around in those little pools in these mikvahs, right?
Not really. It's filtered. It's clean. It's sparkling. Mikvahs are drained daily and scrubbed down. We don't see little fish. We don't see little anything. It's all very beautiful.
Okay, so now, what if you could sum up maybe what would be, let's say, listening to your pro us talking right now and going out and buying mikveh meditations by Hannah Schluss, woman feels inspired, and she decides that she's going to take the plunge. What would be, I wonder if that's where the expression comes from. Anyway, but what would be, would you say, some of the physical benefits and spiritual benefits for her and her family?
Physical benefits. One physical benefit is when a woman becomes in touch with her cycle and her body, this can lead to her improvement in her health. It has in the past led to people diagnosing diseases, God forbid. And so often doctors, gynecologists are grateful if a woman is keeping this mitzvah, because it helps the doctor. It can help the doctors in certain situations. That's one. For her family, we're talking about as has been said, when a couple is close when they should be apart, they could be apart when they should be close. So the fact of there's a dignity, there's an increased respect that can come with the in a marriage, that can come with the keeping of going to the mikvah and the laws around it. And there is definitely no one takes each other for granted in this, because people may not always be available to each other. So there is a renewed appreciation and respect. This filters down the attitudes. If a husband and wife have these attitudes, these filter down to the children. This affects the entire family, and it affects the environment. It has a ripple of, to use an expression, the ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
That has a wider impact.
Indeed. And in fact, in Hebrew, it's not called Taras HaIsha. It's not called the purification of the woman. It's called Taras HaMishpacha, the purification of the entire family. Is that not correct?
Yes.
Indeed. Okay, that is going to wrap it up. Again, the book is called Mikveh Meditations by Chana Schluss. Schluss is Schloush. And it's published by mikveh.org and available wherever one buys books these days, online or wherever.
Also on Amazon.
Kahot Online is where I got my copy from. Mm-hmm. And we want to thank you so much for doing this and coming on the show and sharing insights into it, Chana Schluss.
Thank you so much, Herschel.
Okay, that's going to do it. We'll wrap it up. And thank you so much. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurances accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. That was definitely inspirational and fun and makes you really want to think about doing it. I suggest it. Take careful consideration and think about doing that very important mitzvah. Speaking of which, the next one up, this is for your listening pleasure. This is an a cappella group called Sheer Solo. It's S-O-U-L-O, of course. There's always got to be a pun. You know how it is. This group, the song that they're playing is called Tov Lahodos. I believe it's a Shlomo Carlbach song. Someone can contact me at rabbifinman.com and correct me if I am in error. It's called Tov Lahodos. It's good to praise God.
Tov lehodos l'Hashem.
assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Next up, some classic Jewish a cappella. This is Bitachon. We have a Detroit connection with Avi Schreiber, who's a musician who is found at many weddings and Jewish occasions, is one of the soloists in Bitachon. This is Ani Mamim, which means I believe with perfect faith that the Messiah is going to come.
Sing along with us. They are this. Ve'af al pi she'avo. Ve'af al pi she'avo. That's what I want you to sing. Ve'af al pi she'avo. Let me hear ya. Come on, we gotta hear ya. It's a full house. Keep it up.
Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Hey, Shlomo Friedman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. We got time for one more. This is the Kol Israel Singers. Kol here with a kuf, meaning the voice of Israel singers. The song is Be Brave, Be Strong.
How can life go on this way? Our holy land of Israel, how much grief can you sustain? We search for words of courage to help us ease the pain. Be brave, be strong, we're standing proud. Be brave, be strong, we sing out. Hear our prayer to see shalom. Be brave, be strong, we stand as one, we will go on. Be brave, be strong, we stand shalom, we will go on.
Our home away from home, the place we hold so dear, our brothers seeking comfort and the strength persevere.
A nation of survivors, one family filled with pride.
Oh, land of milk and honey, we will always stand
by our side.
Yes, we will. Be brave, be strong,
we stand as one.
Be brave, be strong, for the land of Zion. Be brave, be strong.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week's portion is the double portion of Achrimos Kedoshim, Leviticus chapter 16 and following, for those following along at home. Portion is a little bit of a perplexing thing as to the order of it. And one of the ways in which the Torah is expounded is it is part of the Torah that it's put in the order in which it's placed. The portion of Achrimos begins with the service of the high priest in the temple in the Holy of Holies on the day of Yom Kippur. The second part of the portion, Kedoshim, deals, it's a list of some 40-something laws in which a person can achieve holiness. So it would make sense, therefore, that the portion should actually, instead of being called Achrimos, Kedoshim should actually be called Kedoshim Achrimos. Because if it would be that the person would be holy all the time, they wouldn't have to worry about atonement. But that's not the way the Almighty works. Knowing his customers, you might say, there's a rule that the Almighty provides the cure before the malaise, meaning that if there's a sickness, a disease out there, there's already a cure. It's just a matter of us finding what that cure is, because, as it says, the Almighty will not give us something we cannot handle. And therefore, the Almighty will not put some sort of an affliction which doesn't have some kind of cure into humanity, because that's not just the way the Almighty rolls, as the saying might go. So what's the deal? So what was the purpose of the atonement of the high priest? Well, we do it every year on Yom Kippur without it, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. People do what they do. And we have our flub-ups, our mishaps, you know. So it's like if you're playing baseball and you knock a hole through one of the windows. Did you do it intentionally? No, it was an accident. So the Almighty understands about accidents, just sort of like, be careful. But if a person did it just to see, wow, what's it like to hit a ball through a window? Well, that kind of behavior has to be counseled and said, no, that's not socially appropriate. The another way of looking at it is what happens if a person hits the ball through a window for maliciousness? I really want to do this. I hate that person. I'm going to break their windows. Whatever. This person has to be told that that sort of behavior is counterproductive to society. And so we're told that the Almighty is willing to offer atonement. When we talk about the Day of Atonement, it's not we who are atoning, it's the Almighty who are atoning, is the Almighty who is atoning. We are being atoned for what we may have done during the course of the year. It says the Almighty wants to have this relationship with us. And before anything else, before he tells us, oh, by the way, this is what you got to do. 41 things you have to do to fit into the guise of quote unquote being holy. The Almighty says, I know you're going to mess up. And I want you to know that more than you want to have a relationship with me by you being holy, I want to have a relationship with you. And so therefore, I'm giving you the way out in case you mess up any of these things, and not only all these things, but all 613 commandments if they get messed up. Where does this lead to? The second part of the portion says, you shall be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's sort of like I won't say fallacious, but inaccurate comparison. That's, in a bad way, it's like saying that just because Hank Aaron hit over 620 home runs, I don't remember the exact number, sorry, I should be able to hit 620 home runs? No. But we're not Hank Aaron. But we are a part of God. The Almighty puts that in us. And yes, there are 613 things that the Almighty instills us and says we can do them, gives us the strength to do them, gives us the power to do them. Some of those things, okay, they don't have to get done right now. Maybe we did them already. Maybe we're going to do them. But the Almighty says, listen, give it a try. Don't start out with jumping on a roof, meaning sitting on the ground and doing like a flying leap and jumping up and getting on the roof. That's not what the Almighty expects of us. If the Almighty wanted us to get on a roof, he would have invented ladders. Oh, wait, there are ladders. We can get on roofs. But how do you get on a roof with a ladder? Pretty much one step at a time. And so the path to holiness is not a big deal. The path is one step at a time. Yes, being a person that someone would recognize, you can't say, I'm holy. If a person says, I'm holy, then we know for sure they're not. But person who has worked on themselves that others point and say, that person's holy, meaning dedicated to God. That path is one step at a time, one mitzvah at a time, one good deed at a time. And then you can say, if you're on that path, you can say, I don't have to worry about the first part of the portion, the part where God's going to forgive and atone, grant me atonement, because I'm on the right path. And that's always been our emphasis. Worry about what to do in the advent of the right thing, and you won't have to worry about what to do if something goes wrong. We, unfortunately, we're coming up to the end of the hour. While this hour flew by, we've got to take a quick commercial break. Don't go away. We've got the Hasidic story coming up next. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Would you like to get in touch with me? I got a real easy way to do that. Go to your computer and go to my website, rabbifinman.com. That's www.rabbifinman.com. And go right on the homepage. There's a contact link. Contact me if you've got a question, comment, criticism, statement, feel like pontificating. It's all good. I answer all my own mail personally, so you can be guaranteed of that. And we could become really good friends if you just send me a line. No problemo. What else will you find at rabbifinman.com? You'll find archived editions of the show. Want to hear something from last week, the week before? Did you miss the show from 6 weeks ago? It's still there. You can go back. In fact, I'm not sure exactly how many there are. I've lost count how many are on there, but you could sit all day and listen to the Jewish Hour. Let me know how that goes for you. I'm sure you'll feel like a much better person. Definitely much better than binge-watching most of the stuff that people binge-watch. There's also archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, ways in which yours truly conveys the messages of Judaism in an entertaining and educational way. There's also the very important donations page. It's the end of April. Today's April 30th. It doesn't get more April than today because, may I say what tomorrow will be? I can do that with a question or without a question. Yes. We're a long shot away. So step up, go to the donations page at rabbifinman.com. There's a whole bunch of buttons you can push to any pick a number, and you get that. And it comes. If you're doing it with PayPal, it's 30 seconds. If you have to put in a credit card number, it's take you 2.5 minutes to do it. But you can do it in such a way through PayPal now that you can give a donation and click continued giving, and then determine how often you want that gift. Could be once a month, that's fine. So even if you're giving $5, you hit the once a month button, that's $60. That's a lot of money for a person to give. If everybody listening to this show gave $60 a year, I could retire. And not only would I do that, but of course, what would I do if I retired? Yeah, I'd probably have a radio show on a Sunday morning. But I wouldn't have to ask for donations anymore because you'd guys be paying for it. Because you guys are paying for it now anyway. We're on air 21 years, and there has not been a show that I paid for. It's all been listener supporters like yourselves. So it's time. You know who you are. Step up to the plate. Actually, don't step up to any plate. Step up to the computer. Sit down at the computer if you want. Don't do it when you're driving. You could wait till you go home. Don't like doing internet giving? I understand. Credit cards, all that business, identity theft. There are, unfortunately, are people who are dastardly and evil out there that would steal a person's credit card number. Drop your donation of any amount in an envelope and send it to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Story involves a certain businessman who had a certain concession. I don't know the name of the person, and I don't know what the man's business was, but he needed a license from the Russian government to be able to conduct his business. And this went on. He managed to make a living. One year, the government said, "We're not renewing your license. You're out of a job. Goodbye." So this person didn't have any savings. He had a family, had bills. What was he going to do? He was frantic. He finally said, "I have to go visit my Rebbe, Reb Chaim of Sanz." So he went all the way to the city of Sanz, which is located many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms, and received an audience with the holy rabbi, Reb Chaim of Sanz, the Sanz Rebbe. And he told them his plight, how he had no way of making a living and his family's going to be destitute and poverty and thrown into the street and homeless and they're going to have to live under a train track, except there weren't any train tracks, a train bridge. Anyway, so the Rebbe asked him, what is your proper Hebrew name? And he said, "Okay, this is my proper Hebrew name." He says, "What is your father's Hebrew name?" And he said, "This is my father's Hebrew name." And he said, "What is your grandfather's Hebrew name?" And he said, "This is my grandfather's Hebrew name." So he said, "Thank you. Have a nice day." And that was it. End of audience. This man was so distraught. He came for a blessing, for advice, for something. All he got was quizzed. He couldn't understand it. But people told him, "Listen, you got a blessing." You did get a blessing, by the way. Even if he didn't say you should be blessed and you'll have money and everything will be, you had a blessing. He sat down on a bench and he was just totally distraught. One of Chaim of Sanz's close students, whose name escapes me, saw the man crying and said, what's the scoop? So he told him the whole story. He said, "I'm sure the Rebbe gave you a blessing." But the man said, "Nonetheless, I want another audience with the rabbi to order to clarify and to get something more concrete." So this person had an open door. He knocked on the door of the rabbi's office and went in and told them the plaint of this businessman who is now facing destitution. So the rabbi said, "He's got nothing to worry about. In fact, I can tell you a story and tell him to come in and I will tell the story in front of him." Okay. So he tells him, "It once happened when I was quite a young man, that a group of my friends decided that we're going to visit our Rebbe, the Chayza of Lublin." The Chayza of Lublin lived in, of course, the city of Lublin, which is also many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms, was the Rebbe to some 96 people who became Rebbes on their own right. This is a person, they call him the Chayzer, which means like the visionary, because he could see things that people just couldn't see. There's stories about him I'll tell you another time. In fact, you drop me a line, I'll tell you a story at rabbifinman.com. So we wanted to go see our Rebbe, and we made a pact between the 10 of us that we were not going to ask for food. If someone offered us food, we would take it, but we are not going to ask for food, because that'd be like, you know, grubby asking people for food. It's not nice. So the first day we set out, it was a Monday. They wanted to get to Lublin by Saturday for Shabbos before Friday night. No one offered them any food. Tuesday, nobody offered them any food. He said, the Sanzer Rebbe said, I was so weak, I could hardly walk. I had to like tell people, wait up, I can't keep up with you. He was so weak. And then the third day, Wednesday, guy came up to me and said, you look terrible. When was the last time you ate? And I said, Sunday. So he said, come into my house immediately. Invited the whole 10 of us into the house, fed us, and we took about to take our leave. And he said, why are you leaving so fast? He said, we want to get to Lublin in time for Shabbos. He said, I will take you tomorrow by wagon. What do you have to walk for? So we stayed the night. We rested up. We slept in a proper bed. The next morning, he said, oh, something's come up. I can't take you. We pleaded. We cajoled. And finally, the man said, if you stop at my house and spend Shabbos on the way back, I will take you. In fact, you have to stop on your way back from Lublin every time from now on that you go. So we agreed. And for many years, I stayed in this man's house the Shabbos after I visited my Rebbe in Lublin. The man passed on, and he needed someone to pray for him in heaven. But I didn't know his father's name. So I prayed to Hashem that this man's son should come to me and tell me what the name of his grandfather is. That's you. You lost your business in order that you should come to me. Now that I have the name of your father and his father, meaning your grandfather, don't worry, the Russian government's going to give you back your job. And so it was. That's going to do it for us. We want to thank you for listening so much. We hope we had a chance to entertain you. We hope you had a chance to educate you a little bit. We hope you have a great week. And we hope to see you back again next week. Take care.